Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. Many of you filled out the survey we sent last week. Thank you so much for doing that. It was so helpful. We've been going through it carefully. I think it's about 47 single space type pages of comments and things. And as we go through them, we'll try to consolidate and make progress in the different areas you talked about and cover some of the issues you wanted to cover and things like that. But I just wanted to say the tone and the way you expressed everything you did was so kind and so, I don't know, just it makes me so thankful to be able to do what I do and talk to you each week. The sweetest, best people. And I just, anyway, we appreciated that. My wife and I and others were going through the comments and quotes, and they were just, it was just very encouraging. And thank you for that. And we'll try to make the improvements in the areas where you had a lot of great ideas and things, but just wanted to acknowledge that and thank you for spending your time doing that. This week, we're going to be talking about the World Economic Forum because, of course, they're having their meeting. They had it all this week, and the title is a little hard, but you'll understand why at the end, Demons in Davos. And it's just, as you see their plans unfolding, you realize whose they really are. They're satanic, they're anti-human to the core, they're anti-life, they're anti-productivity and everything else. And they are satanic, whether they know it or not. And so that's what we're going to talk about this week. But thank you so much for joining me. A few key news stories before we get into Davos is, you probably saw it, but we need to remember these things. And it kind of fits into what I'm going to be talking about too. Their schemes, their plans, their evil agendas are starting to be exposed. In the last year, 1,598 athletes, young athletes, suffered cardiac arrest. They had a heart attack. 1,598. That's over 30 a week. The 38 years before then, 1,100 athletes went into cardiac arrest, which is one every other week. So it's gone up over 50 times. That's how deadly these shots are. And these type of facts are going to keep coming out, and everyone that's affected by this is going to start to be a staunch conservative that is standing against the evil, exposing the evil. So it's horrible these things are happening. But the good that will come from them is people see, you told me to get my child vaccinated. You didn't tell me there was a chance of them dying from it. It was supposed to save them from dying. And so anyway, that's happening. I also wanted to bring up, I know all of you saw the clips from a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Football when the football player went down in cardiac arrest. And I was watching that clip again, and I just wanted to express something. Again, how people are starting to see the lie. As you see all the other NFL players praying and things, which was great, but you see them, the sadness, the whatever, I noticed something very clearly, and I don't know if you did or not, but you could tell in their eyes they knew it was the vaccine, because it wasn't just sadness in their eyes, it was fear. They were looking at that situation, you could just see it. It wasn't like, oh, we're just so sad what happened to our buddy. It was, we're scared to death. We took that shot too. I mean, it was crystal clear to me. And I thought, man, but that's more and more people. Every one of these tragedies wakes up another group of people, all the people connected to that person. And they're happening so rapidly and so frequently, it's going to cause people not to trust these evil people that shouldn't be trusted. Another key story, I wanted to bring up the purpose in this. You know, they're trying to outlaw gas stoves. And a lot of people think that's just stupid. It is stupid. It's ridiculous. But I think it's a key strategic thing they're doing. It's not just, oh, let's randomly pick stoves. What does a gas stove represent? productivity in the restaurants. I used to be in the restaurant business. You have to have gas stoves. Electric aren't hot enough and don't heat up quick enough to be able to cook the food fast enough to get it to the people. So it destroys the free enterprise system. But more than that, in Idaho, we had a gas stove, a gas furnace, a gas hot water heater, and out in the yard was a 1,000-gallon propane tank. And what did that symbolize? It was independence. Even if the power's out, we had the things we needed. We could cook. We could do whatever. They don't like that. It was cheap energy and taking advantage of that. The same reason they don't want you to have a gas stove is the same reason they don't want you to have a gas-powered car. It's freedom. You know, they want us dependent on their electricity, that they can turn off whenever they want to, and then we're under their control. California last summer, you can't charge your electric car. We're having shortages. So you're stuck. Well, they don't like anything that allows us to be free. In gas stoves, where you can have your own supply and your own property doing your own thing, is just one of those things. Just like they're trying to outlaw log fireplaces. It's not to save the environment, so you can't even be warm. You'll die without our electricity. And so you have to just see through the smoke and mirrors or the stupidity and go, no, they're usually not stupid in the way we think they're stupid. They're evil and very strategic to continue their march to eliminate our freedoms, and that's what that's about. I had a friend that's a missionary in Nepal, and every day over there, the power shuts down for 4 or 5 hours in the afternoon because they don't have enough power. So everyone's power goes out all afternoon, every single day. Well, that's coming to America sooner than you might think. To save the planet, that's the type of thing they're going to start working toward. All right, one other one here. Brazil, as you see now, they have fallen to the communists. Please pray for them. I love the people of Brazil. Latin and South America now are being taken over by the communists. Things are changing dramatically. There's been a lot of little communist countries there, but now China is going to be moving in and taking over Brazil to pillage all their natural resources. And in the totalitarian claws of that government are coming out. All the people that protested against them that they caught and rounded up, they force vaccinated them. Every single one, they jabbed them with the vax, which is weird, and then threw them into a gymnasium. There's no water, no toilets, no anything. Many have already died. I mean, it's communism. And of course, the media is not covering that. But it's significant to us when the Reds start coming that close and start coming up. I think Mexico could fall in a matter of time because it's already, it has the chaos there that communists love, because they can take advantage of the chaos to create revolution. It's already a corrupt, evil government. It's already just, it's the perfect fertile soil for communism. And so if they can take over Brazil and most of South America and Latin America and come right in, up into Mexico, then we can have the enemy right on the border, which is their goal. Okay, last story before we talk about Davos. This one is sobering and significant, but you have to know about it because we all have to start thinking differently and having alternative systems and things available to us. This is Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA technologies and vaccines. He had an article talking about the mRNA vaccines are now being used in livestock, which is going to affect our food supply. It's already happened. He said they're already doing it with swine. Merck has already patented some vaccines that are mRNA technology. But don't eat pork right there. Do not eat pork. But as they start to do it in all animals, that's going to taint that meat. I do not want to eat meat that has had, where that blood has been tainted in the animal and gone through the system. Dr. Malone said this, we have to build alternate systems. I don't think we can stop them, but we can choose not to buy their food or take their drugs or mRNA vaccines. And that is definitely what we need to do. The World Economic Forum's meeting this week, their annual meeting, just reveals to us where they're wanting to take us, what we need to be prepared for. And that's the point of it from their point of view too. Really what it is, the best way I've heard it put is, it's controlled reveal of their plan. Controlled reveal. Where they're just letting enough out so you kind of know the direction we're heading. They want to prepare us for what we can expect so we won't rise up against it. This is a decades-old plan. This isn't something new. This isn't like this year they came up with these new ideas. For decades, they've had these plans, and they're slowly getting the infrastructure together to be able to implement them. And it's just unfolding before our eyes. But they always tell you where they're going before they go there. So when they head there, they go, oh, no, this is the direction things are heading. They can tell you as if, oh, that's just the way things go. We didn't have any control over it. But I have one article I saw in relation to this, just these evil, slimy people. The high-priced prostitutes were everywhere in that town for this meeting. They come every year for this meeting. These people are immoral. They're evil. They're wicked. But I saw an article that business was booming there because all these elites are there, cheating on their wives. Just, it's staggering. But key strategy, what they talk about is where they want us to go. And so we need to say no to every part of it. One of the sessions they had was called The Next Pandemic. So they're already setting the stage. Oh, yeah, this is going to be coming. And here's how we need to have lockdowns this time. And here's how we need to take control this time and get the vaccines out even quicker. And so, again, they're planning this. One of the focuses also was energy and food security. You know, they're warning us there might be shortages. While at the very time, they're destroying cheap energy worldwide. They're demanding that we have net zero emissions, so we can't use any kind of energy. And then they're telling us, yeah, there might be shortages coming up. They're creating the shortages, so then they will have the solution to the problem. They're also orchestrating world famine by closing farms, outlawing fertilizer, causing regulation to increase on farmers and those that produce foods. They're instigating wars in agricultural areas like the Ukraine. But they're going to tell us, yeah, we think energy and food shortages might be coming. And so we're going to have to do things totally different than we've ever done them before. We're going to have to ration food and ration energy. Yeah, that's where they are. Probably the main theme of the whole thing, the dominant theme of the entire week was disinformation is the most existential challenge we're grappling with as a society. That means people saying things that they don't agree with. So banning free speech is the focus. They wanted all the elites, all the leaders of the world to know we have to start controlling the narrative, silencing opposition even more than we already have, and free speech is a thing of the past. It's evil, and it's wrong, and it's the greatest single threat that we face. That's what they said. Well, that reminds me of 1984. Where they had eliminated all the free speech, everything had been rewritten, the stories retold, and no one was able to state anything that was against the state. Big Brother was always right. Some other key themes through it were the public-private partnerships, which the United Nations has been pushing for 40 years. But it's a key focus because all the top world leaders are there in business, BlackRock, Larry Fink's on the board there. And so they're creating these public-private partnerships, which is government in bed with big business, which is fascism, to eliminate small business, send tax dollars to these businesses and the NGOs, helping them out because, oh, they're helping us implement these things. It allows government to have total control without looking like it. That's what they want to do, especially in countries like America, where government's not supposed to be totalitarian yet. So like what we've already seen, but that's what they do with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. You know, the government tells them to censor us. So when they do that, everyone says, well, that's a private company. They can do whatever they want. You have no right to tell a private company what they can do. But it's really the government doing it, the government in control of those things. But they use those for total control. It's like we've seen the private banks. You know, we saw a year or so ago, Mike Lindell and MyPillow, the bank said, no, you can't have a bank account here anymore. We're closing your bank account. Well, see, when enough of the big banks and big businesses are in cahoots with the big government, then you can't participate in the system anymore. We saw over the last 2 years, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people get fired for not taking the vax. And the government would say, well, we didn't make you do that. That was the big business, you know, demanding that. So that, anyway, that's what these public-private partnerships are all about. It's government making big businesses, and they're happy to do it, do the things that they want done, but where their hands look like they're clean. But of course, they're not. It continued to go on about the governance model. And what the governance model is they don't mind having world government that is not seen as world government. You still have all the independent nations, and they have their own little presidents, but all the control of the legislation, the laws, the judges, the courts and stuff are at a world level. They're at a governance level. So it's people you do not elect, people that you have no control over, you can't get to, you can't even talk to, like what they're trying to do right now with the WHO treaty, the World Health Organization treaty. If that is signed, it gives these unelected people total control over America and how we react to a pandemic and what shots we have to take or don't have to take and everything. So it that's governance. That's what that's called when they're governing things, but it's outside of the reach of our hands, so we can't get to them. You know, of course, they're wanting to increase the diversity, equity, and inclusion. All those words, all those are socialist schemes to redistribute wealth, jobs, education, housing, etc. That's all it is. When you hear diversity, equity, inclusion, it means taking from those who are productive and giving to those who are not. It's just a socialist scheme. And they were all about setting up more schemes to rearrange the wealth of the world to benefit their agenda and weaken all resistance. And I'll get more into that in a minute, but they have many schemes on here's how we're going to eliminate all opposition to our cause. We've studied over the last couple of years, there are 8 predictions for 2030. I know you know about them. Confiscating all private property was one of the key goals. Getting it where you eat bugs, because those are more sustainable. You can't eat meats anymore. You can't, you know, do that. 15-minute cities is something that they've introduced recently. What is a 15-minute city? It means it's cities where you cannot go further than 15 minutes from your home. You can't do that because it's going to cut carbon emissions. It's totalitarian control. It's putting you in a prison that's, you know, a 5-mile circle, and you can't leave that circle. That's all it is. The fourth industrial revolution we've talked about, how they're going to use AI and technology, and they talked about that more, to control the world and where they really won't need so many of us anymore to make the things for them to have the nice life that they have. Build Back Better, you know, theme we've seen since Biden and before. When you're building something back better, that means you have to have destroyed what was there first so you can rebuild again. That's what they're in the process of doing. They're creating a system where the rich get richer while saying that's what they are against. There was actual clips of them talking about that. This is a problem. The rich are getting richer. Who's at the meeting? It's just the super rich of the world. But they're saying that for public consumption. They know we'll hear those things and go, okay, no, I heard them say. They don't like that the rich are getting richer, that they're getting richer and we're getting poorer. Yet every scheme they're putting forward, every scheme the World Economic Forum has put forward in the last 50 years has done just that. Since 2020, 66% of all the new wealth created in the world has gone to the top 1%, and they love it. Here's a clip from President Trump talking in January of 2020 to the World Economic Forum, stating the accomplishments of his administration and how things were going in America. And this is why, you'll hear as he talks about this, this is why he had to go, because he was doing the opposite of this. The wealth wasn't going to the top, it was going to the bottom. But watch this clip.
Workers' wages are now growing faster than management wages. Earnings growth for the bottom 10% is outpacing the top 10%, something that has not happened. Paychecks for high school graduates are rising faster than for college graduates. Young Americans just entering the workforce are also sharing in America's extraordinary prosperity. Since I took office, more than 2 million millennials have gotten jobs, and their wages have grown by nearly 5% annually, a number that was unthinkable. Nobody would have ever thought it was possible 3 years ago. A record number of Americans between the ages of 25 and 34 are now working. In the 8 years before I took office, over 300,000 working-age people left the workforce. In just 3 years in my administration, 3.5 million people have joined the workforce. 10 million people have been lifted off welfare in less than 3 years. Celebrating the dignity of work is a fundamental pillar of our agenda. This is a blue-collar boom. Since my election, the net worth of the bottom half of wage earners has increased by plus 47%, three times faster than the increase for the top 1%.
I just played part of that. That whole speech is worth watching, because through the hour speech, he goes through all the things they had accomplished, and it's pretty impressive. I watched it, hadn't seen it in a couple years. I was like, good night. Things were really just heading in the right direction in so many different areas, but they had to stop that. They want the wealth going to the top 10th of 1%, which is them, and that's what it's about. Another thing that came out, and this is a key. This is really key. I saw this and I go, oh my goodness, this is why we're having the Ukraine war. But Ukraine is going to be the model of this future world, and they're hoping by 2030. And it's going to be the model because right now war is destroying everything. So America then can pay to have it rebuilt after the war devastates it all. They want it to be destroyed down to the ground, so they can rebuild it into the digital totalitarian paradise that they want. Before the war started, this is pretty amazing. This video I'm going to show you was made by the Deputy Prime Minister of the Ukraine. The war had not started yet, but they knew it might start. And I think they wanted it to start. But they made this video. It's called Ukraine 2030, a little promotional video. Watch this and you will see how they are just going to implement when they rebuild that country into the model for the world of digitized everything. No more paper, anything. But anyway, watch this little clip. It's like China, but even more, because everything will be integrated because it's all brand new.
Let's look 8 years ahead. 2030. The history of the new Ukraine is studied all over the globe. Why? Because Ukraine became the most digital and convenient country in the world. Scripts have replaced bureaucrats. 500,000 former public servants are successfully integrated in the new economy. No more red tape, but paperless. No more banknotes, but cashless. Yes, we became the first country to abandon paper money. Ukraine now has the best tax system for the IT industry and the most affordable e-residency. Thanks to Ukrainian engineers and programmers, the R&D centers of the world's top technology companies operate successfully, and Ukraine ranks first in the world by the number of startups per capita. Ukrainian courts are guided by artificial intelligence, and all notarial acts take place online. Ukrainian customs is fully automatic and the fastest in the world. Customs clearance and car registration can now be done in three clicks from your smartphone. Because of war and internal migration, we have built the most flexible and modern digital education. Brave military and civilians get quality treatment with modern remote monitoring and e-health systems. Ukraine also has the most effective cyber defense in the world. After the horrors of 2022, Ukraine focused on security systems. Now every production facility has its air defense system, and the sleep of Ukrainians is protected by an ultra-modern Iron Dome. The Ukrainian government is digital, more like an IT company in terms of the efficiency of implementing decisions, and one can register a land plot, start construction, open a business or get a license, and register a car or real estate from a smartphone, automatically, in one click. Ukraine is the freest and digital. This is all because international partners and the world's leading technology companies supported the Digital for Freedom initiative and united to help Ukraine recover through digitalization. Building a new Ukraine together, free and the fastest, brave and digital.
There's so many things I could talk about there. Did you hear that? Digital for Freedom initiative. Digital for freedom. So when everything goes digital, then you'll finally have freedom. When the exact opposite is the truth. Here's the future of the globalist action plan right here. This is what they have in store for you. Biometrics, digital currencies that are programmable, 24-hour surveillance, carbon monitoring and rationing. You'll have this much allotment of carbon, and once you go beyond that, things are turned off. Climate lockdowns will be coming because they saw how effective those are in controlling the people. Energy allotments. Here's how much energy you get per month. Once it's used up, you're staying home. Food rationing and restrictions. They're going to be doing that because they're saying that farming and agriculture are a grave threat to the planet. And so they're going to have to make up the food. Bill Gates will be happy to do that and genetically modify organisms and give us our little food allotment each month. Universal ID and passport, travel restrictions like the 15-minute cities, abolition of all private property, which they've stated, and calibrated speech laws. Here's what's legal to say, here's what's not. They talked about it so much this week on how you cannot have freedom of speech. They will not stop. Their goal is to build a digital prison around each of us so we won't rebel. Instant, cheerful obedience. All others will be erased. Watch this little clip from Catherine Austin Fitz talking about this world, exactly what it'll look like, the things I just mentioned there. This is what it's all about. This is what they're trying to create.
Right. So what you're doing is you're moving everything into a one-world government that will have very tight central control. And you will have everyone on a digital transaction system where you can control them spatially and you can control what they do, what they think, what they spend money on. So if you think of the Chinese social credit system, you know, they're basically, if I can put you on a digital currency system, CBDC, central bank, it's not a currency, it's like a credit at the company store. You're totally financially controlled and totally financially dependent. If I don't want you traveling more than 5 miles from your home, you can't transact more than 5 miles from your home. If you say something I don't like, I turn off your bank account and you starve to death. If you don't take whatever injection I want to give you, you know, that's it. You don't get any food. So it's a complete control system that can be implemented with AI and software in very, very granular ways, and I can track you 24/7.
But we don't have it yet, do we?
It's coming.
It's coming.
And this is
part of the decision that has been done last year.
So if I was the central banks and I announced, okay, we're doing going direct, I want complete control of all your financial transactions, no privacy, you know, I have complete access to data and I control your money and I control your wallet and I control your bank account. If I want to raise taxes, I just take it out of your bank account and you have to do what I say. Everybody would say, no, I don't want to do that. But you say, oh, you know, we're worried about your health and safety, so we want to have these healthcare passports. They're green. They're green. And it's for your safety and it's because we want to make sure you're safe. You know, then you can, you know, it's the Judas goat. You can get everybody in the trap because you don't want them to see the trap until you throw it.
Yeah.
And it's too late. And that's why you'll see people like Dr. Naomi Wolf standing up and saying, if we let them do this, it's the end of human liberty in the West. And it is. It is the end of human liberty if we agree to this kind of financial control system. And I assure you, their goals in this have nothing to do with health. Nothing. This is a financial control system.
We don't realize how much power going digital gives them. We just don't realize it. But like she was saying there, if they don't want you going beyond 5 miles from your house, nothing you have works past then. Your car won't work. Your credit cards won't work. Your bank doesn't work. Your ID doesn't work. Nothing works once it's all digital. You won't be able to fill up with gas past there. You won't be able to do anything. So it's a prison. And that's the bottom line of this. But they have to act like right now, no, it's digital for freedom. If you want to be free, we need to go digital on everything. But here's some other things as I start wrapping up here. Some encouraging things that we can do. And I was actually more optimistic after watching all their foolishness and their evil plans than I've been in a long time. You could see they are terrified of patriotism. They're terrified of America first, of individual responsibility, of privacy, of free speech, of independence, of self-reliance. They can't stand it. And they have this Trojan horse they're trying to push in on us. What's the Trojan horse? It's climate change. That's the vehicle for the New World Order. And the weapon is fear. And they have the same formula they've always had. Problem, reaction, solution. Create a problem, get a reaction, and then you provide the solution. That's all this thing is about. That's their formula. We can't fall for it. The problems that we face in the world, 99% of them are created by them. Here's some things I wrote that I wanted to share with you. These are evil people. They're enemies of the world. Their plans have already caused over 100 million people to die, probably five times that since 1970. If you look at all the plans the World Economic Forum and the elites have pushed forward over the last 50 years, they all have ended in death and been totally destructive to mankind. They have a God complex. Just like Karl Marx and every elite has this, they are above us. They are above the law. They are the only ones who can rule the world. You probably saw the clip this week of John Kerry stating that there to them in one of the groups.
We select group of human beings because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. I mean, it's so almost extraterrestrial.
We've been touched by something to give us this authority to save the planet and control the world. It was like weird. Like they are in such a fantasy world. They have no clue what the real problems are and the real solutions are and what really affects people's lives. They are just ignorant as you could possibly get. But here's something I'm always sobered by as I see those meetings. And I realize most of the super wealthy of the world are evil. And they are on board with these plans to just make things totalitarian for the common man. But it reminds me, going back to the story out of the Bible, here's some verses here. And the devil, taking him, Jesus, up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. That's the devil talking to Jesus. And he says that, and Jesus doesn't say, no, you don't have that. And then he says, if thou will worship me, all shall be thine. Satan is saying that to Jesus, who already owns everything. But that is so important. And the glory of them, he's talking about all the kingdoms of this world, all the power, the wealth, the fame. He goes, it is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it. He can give that to anyone. I know I've said that before in the past. It's a key point. These people are pushing forward his agenda. And that's why he has given them the wealth and the fame and the power and the kingdoms of this world. I mean, it's sobering. The environmental movement is their religion. It is anti-human agenda. It is an agenda to destroy mankind and the environment. That's what we have to continually point out. It's anti-freedom, anti-environment. Electric cars, windmills, solar panels are totally destroying our environment in a real way, in a meaningful way. The mining that needs to be done is so polluting to the world for the batteries, for all the metals and things and that go into and the minerals that go into the windmills and the solar panels. They are destroying their planet with these things. We should be totally against them all. Cutting cheap, clean energy like natural gas, coal, petroleum causes death, disease, poverty, and suffering. That's it. The Bible says, all those that hate me love death, talking about wisdom. And that's these people. But here's the good news. I think America is the only country that can stop the globalist agenda. I believe with God's help, Klaus Schwab's plans will fail. I really do. I know we see, everything's kind of cranking up for the end. Yeah, I think they've pushed it too fast this time. I think we might have a great reset for a period. It might be a short period before they come back and are able to accomplish their goals. But Hitler, when he came to power, he promised a 1,000-year reign of the Reich. And it lasted 12 years. The Soviets promised the same thing. This will last forever, a utopia on Earth. It lasted 70 years. The globalist evil plans have been exposed. The hundreds of millions or even billions that will be dying over the next 5 to 10 years because of their energy shortages, created food shortages, the economic collapse they're bringing about, and the vaccines. Because of all those things, again, hundreds of millions, possibly billions, will die. That's going to shake the troops. And that's going to create more rebellion against and rejection for their globalist ideas and world government. And here's something specific I just wrote down that I wanted to share with you. All of their actions do and will end in death and expose them for the satanic hirelings they are. That's who they work for. That's whose plans they're implementing. But we can make a difference, and we have things we can do to expose their lies. The destruction of the family equals death, and that's what they're trying to do. The redefining of the family equals death. Encouraging no children, people to have no children, is death. Rebellion against God equals death. Rebellion against biblical morality equals death. Destroying the food supply to save the planet equals death. Cutting the production of inexpensive energy to save the planet equals death. Indoctrinating the children in the schools to hate what is right and to love what is evil ends in death. Ignoring the rule of law ends in death. We must choose life in all of our decisions, in all of our practices, in all of our habits. We need to say no to their redefining, restructuring, rebuilding, trying to re-engineer and transform society. We need to say no to that. In every area of our existence, we need to do that. Their plans are failing, and people worldwide are noticing. We must pray for God's mercy and build, create, and establish alternative systems. We must educate others and share the gospel. All we need is about 10% to wake up to build a thriving, moral alternative to their collapsing, satanic schemes that are not working. Watch this clip, and then I'll close with our verse.
So I think we emphasized some problems today. And the question is, how can we solve them? How can we get out of this?
Can I say something? It's remarkable how easy it is to solve. And I'll tell you why. If you look at the machinery, so let's look at Mr. Global. Mr. Global, whoever is in that room, it's a small group of people, right? If you look at who's building the trap, who's building the prison, guess who's building the prison?
The prisoners.
Yeah. So we're, you know, with our bank deposits, we're financing the big banks to do this. We're financing Amazon to do this by shopping in Amazon. We're putting our money into the stocks of the companies that are destroying our world. We're paying taxes to this government and not, you know, using the powers we have as a taxpayer to, you know, to check and see where our money's being. We have the ability to bring huge transparency. We have the ability to stop building the prison, okay? And so the question is, what are we going to build with our world? If we keep building the prison, we will be prisoners, you know, and it's coming up fast. So one of the things, if you come to Solaria, you see us promoting Cash Friday. Stop using digital money. Use cash. You know, keep your transactions private. But you can shift your bank deposits. You can shift your purchases. You can shift your investments. There are around the world thousands, if not millions, of really great bankers and people who run credit unions and co-ops. Support the good guys. Shift your energy, your time, your money out of the bad guys and put it into the good guys. And do it quickly because, as I said, the trap is coming up fast. Digital systems, if we allow this to go all digital, it will be the end of human liberty in the West.
Be encouraged. There's lots we can do, like what she just talked about and so many other things, but we need to do them. We have to quit funding the enemy. We have to keep giving our children over to the enemy. We have to keep doing things that allow them to continue moving forward. And we have to start building the alternative systems, especially in the area of food. Food is very powerful. We need to start really upping our prepping and preparations to make ourselves more sustainable, to use their term, in a real way, and self-reliant and self-sufficient right where we are. And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. Our verse is Mark 8:36. This is perfect. Klaus Schwab, I want to tell you this verse in hopes that you will repent and turn from your wicked ways. For what should it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's a great verse for evangelism to share with people that are so dead set on attaining more wealth and more things and more stuff. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, it profits them nothing. We need to be grateful that we have the truth. We need to be grateful that God has allowed us to live the way we have, where our eyes are open and we see the truth. And then we need to pray for the courage to stand up and make the tough decisions financially, educationally, business-wise, at home, in doing, reorganizing our life to sustain and preserve the next generation, training them to stand for the truth, to fear God and keep His commandments. And when we do that, which is pleasing to the Lord, I still believe He can turn things around for us. But I appreciate you being there. And until next week, God bless you.